Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. And question number one, it was on this very day that Thomas Edison invented the phonograph and made the first sound recording. What year was that, and what did Edison say in that recording? Was it A, 1845, and he said, "What's happening in Mexico?" Was it B, 1877, and he said, "Mary had a little lamb?" Was it 1900, and he said, "Come here, Watson, I think I've got it?" Or was it D, 1925, and he said, "Something big is about to happen?" First phonograph and recording. What year and statement was that, anyway? And question number two. It was on this day, back in 1952, that Hank Williams was fired from the Grand Ole Opry and told not to return until what? Was it A, until he sobered up? Was it B, until he swore off swearing on stage? Was it C, until he got a haircut and a shave? Or was it D, until he publicly apologized to the DAR for his derogatory comments? Hank Williams' return to the Grand Ole Opry was contingent on what? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of August the 11th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1924, that The Prisoner's Song by Vernon Dalhart became the first country music record to sell 1 million copies. That was 1924 today. And it was 56 years ago today, 1967, that the Daughters of the American Revolution, DAR, refused to allow Joan Baez to perform at Constitution Hall in Washington, D.C., because of her opposition to the Vietnam War. Baez responded with a performance at a free concert at the base of the Washington Monument. That was 1967 today. And in country, folk, and roots music news, we have this book by one of our NCRS colleagues, reviewed in Amazon.com. Have a Little Faith, the John Hiatt Story, 2021 by Michael Elliott, the author, and Elvis Costello, the foreword. Have a Little Faith is not merely a fan's notes. This is a riveting book that tells the stories of one of our greatest roots musicians and the tenacity that's grown out of his enduring passion for music. A journey through an artist's quest for success, deep dive into substance abuse, family tragedy, and ultimate triumph. By the mid-1980s, singer-songwriter John Hiatt had been dropped from 3 record labels, burned through 2 marriages, and had fallen deep into substance abuse. It took a stint in rehab and a new marriage to inspire him, then a producer and an A&R man to have a little faith. By February 1987, he was back in the studio on a shoestring budget with a hand-picked supergroup consisting of Ry Cooder on guitar, Nick Lowe on bass, and Jim Keltner on drums, recording what would become his masterpiece, Bring the Family. Based on author Michael Elliott's multiple extensive and deeply personal interviews with Hiatt, as well as his collaborators and contemporaries, including Roseanne Cash, Bonnie Raitt, Ry Cooder, and many others, Have a Little Faith, the journey through the musical landscape of the 1960s through today that places Hiatt's long career in context with a glossy pop, college alternative, mainstream country, and heartland rock on the last half century. Hiatt's life, both pre- and post-family, will be revealed, as well as the music loved by critics, fellow musicians, and fans alike. About the author, Michael Elliott is a contributor to the pioneering roots music authority, No Depression. His writing has also appeared in Pop Matters, Americana UK, and The Bitter Southerner. Elliott spent close to 30 years in radio, from disc jockey to operations manager, in a variety of formats. He has interviewed and produced profiles on musicians as diverse as Isaac Hayes, Charlie Daniels, Bonnie Raitt, Delbert McClinton, Johnny Rivers, and Little Richard. The author and his wife, Liz, reside in Raleigh, North Carolina, where through their work, support, and service, they enrich the NCRS reading service.
I say to myself, you're such a lucky guy to have a girl like her. It's truly a dream come true. Out of all the fellas in the world, she belongs to me. But it was just my imagination.
The Temptations, Just My Imagination, introduces our R&B music news. It's a review. Song and dance men of Ain't Too Proud would make The Temptations proud. Fittingly, Ain't Too Proud, The Life and Times of The Temptations, starts out with a song, the first of more than 30 packed into the show. This is written by Adam Bell, The Charlotte Observer, July 26, 2023. No overture, no exposition, just the men in the classic Motown R&B band singing the way you do the things you do. And it's their music, those songs you know by heart sounds, that propels this addictive jukebox musical through its paces, with strong support by the actors portraying the guys who rotate in and out of the band over the years. Our guide for the evening is Otis Williams, one of the Temptations' founders, and its last surviving original member. The show is based on his book, Temptations. In an assured, lived-in performance by Michael Andreas, Williams strives to get the band launched, then fights to keep it together, no matter the personal cost to his family or to other members of the group. Singing, he reflects early on, after spending time in jail, will be his salvation. Set mostly in the 60s and 70s, Ain't Too Proud rolls through the heyday of Motown in the height of a tumultuous time for the country. We feel the strains of a black band from Detroit striving to be a crossover success with white audiences while facing racism and gunshots in the Jim Crow South. As with a number of musicals these days, projected images substitute for actual sets, mainly detailing the Motown logo or the city the group is in, along with a collage of photos.
Running away, running away.
The actors make you feel like you're at a classic Temptations concert. They elevate their production of Ain't Too Proud with their singing and dancing. It's easy to say why Sergio Trujillo's silky choreography won a Tony Award in 2019. During a performance of Shout, the audience naturally shouted back. Many of the songs are just sampled, but even snippets of the classics recreated by the pros in the cast are worth a listen. Another highlight is Elijah Ahmad Lewis as David Ruffin, the talented but troubled lead singer of the classic Temps. Lewis himself exudes talent, hitting all the right notes on such classics as My Girl, the song playing in the background now. The crowd whooped and cheered whenever Ruffin sang, then bounced and went into a split. Still, it's the men who dominate the show. In real life, there have been 27 guys in the Temptations over the group's 6 decades and counting career. The 81-year-old Williams, in a recent interview with the Charlotte Observer, said he still gets a big kick out of seeing his and the band's story come to life on stage. Judging by all the toe-tapping, shoulder-swaying, and strong ovations from the audience, it's a story that's going to be around for a while. This show, which played Charlotte in July, is scheduled to be presented at Durham Arts for the Performing Arts. That's DPAC, February 6th through the 11th. So go to DPACNC.com or phone 919-680-2787 for more information and tickets. The richest baby. One man can claim. Fossil Saint Ivy introduces our rock and pop music news. It's a Q&A after a 6-year hiatus. Beach Fossils is back with a new record. This is published on WNC by Eric Hodge on July 24, 2023. The Brooklyn-based band Beach Fossils is back after a 6-year hiatus. The project started as a solo outlet for lead songwriter and singer Dustin Pazer before expanding into a 4-piece band. The new record is called Bunny and combines the lush sounds of their 2017 album Somersault with the dream pop influences from their earlier releases. The lyrics cover depression, love, adventure, mistakes, and starting over. Pacer talked with WNC about the new album, its songs, New Starts, and the past. There can always be pressure to put out another record and keep the process moving. How did you resist that and why? Well, I think the most important thing is just taking time with the album. I run my own record label, so I don't have a lot of external pressure to make something in a certain amount of time. Back in the day, people that were on major labels had to put out a record like every other year or two records a year. So, you know, I think we're lucky enough. You know, we're not beholden to an album cycle. Traditionally, we just kind of always keep touring and keep writing and just have fun with it. Sleeping on My Own opens the record with what sounds like a regretful lyric, as you note a shared feeling of paranoia. But then you sing, "Leave me all alone, I'm okay." Is there some defiance there? Yeah, I think so. I think it's a bit of trying to assert some kind of truth to yourself, trying to comfort yourself a bit in hard times. I love the way you use that subtle slide guitar in Run to the Moon. Is this one about a new start? Yeah, Run to the Moon is a song about the freedom that I've previously had in my life, and then bringing a child into the world and the fear of losing that freedom. And then ultimately, once I had my daughter, realizing that, you know, all the fears that I had of that freedom being lost, that all just kind of melted away because I realized this is bringing me so much more joy than I had anticipated. Well, I hate to sound like a cliche, but it is such a life-changing moment, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I didn't want to write a song about being a parent. I was actually really opposed to it because I thought it was kind of corny, and I didn't think there was a way to do it that sounded natural or new or anything. But it was such an overwhelming, transformative experience that I couldn't help but to end up writing about it. Don't Fade Away is so cheery sounding, but there's a line in there about riding a bike in the morning, still hungover and wondering if this is a meaningful moment. And this is after a pledge to stay sober for the previous evening. Well, how do you recognize those moments of real importance when your head is feeling a little fuzzy? Well, I kind of feel like recognizing those mistakes and flaws are, yeah, some of the most important moments of our lives, because that's when you kind of start to change who you are as a person and see yourself from an outside perspective. Well, to me, that's what it's all about, and that's what my music is about. It's like a chance for me to see myself from an outside perspective. If I'm writing about hard times when I'm inside of it, maybe I can't see it. But if I step away from it and listen to it as if I'm an outsider, then I can kind of learn something from it. On Waterfall, it sounds like you're recommending a look ahead without baggage of the past. Is that something you do? Yeah, I think so, you know. I think it is important to recognize the baggage of the past, but you don't have to carry it with you everywhere. It's okay to kind of shed that skin and keep moving forward. Dustin Pacer is the singer and songwriter behind the band Beach Fossils. The new record is called Bunny, and it's available wherever you buy or stream music. Finally, in local music news, we have these August concerts at Coastal Credit Union Music Park at Walnut Creek. See the full summer schedule and purchase tickets for shows at Coastal Credit Union Music Park at Walnut Creek at walnutcreekamphitheater.com or by calling 919-831-6400. Coming up, rest of August, Jason Aldean, that's August the 11th, Pentatonix, August the 19th, and Alice Cooper on August the 29th. And in early September, there is the Outlaw Music Festival featuring Willie Nelson and family, September the 8th. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this very day that Thomas Edison invented the phonograph. What year and what statement did Edison record on this new invention? was it A, 1845, when he said, "What's happening in Mexico?" Was it B, 1877, where he said, "Mary had a little lamb?" Is it C, 1900, where he said, "Come here, Watson, I think I've got it"? Or was it D, 1925, when he recorded, "Something big is about to happen"? Correct answer, that would be answer B. The year was 1877, and Edison recorded this profound statement, "Mary had a little lamb." As noted in the Library of Congress in an article titled History of the Cylinder Phonograph, published in loc.gov, the phonograph was developed as a result of Thomas Edison's work on two other inventions, the telegraph and the telephone. In 1877, Edison was working on a machine that would transcribe telegraphic messages through indentations on paper tape, which could later be sent over the telegraph and repeatedly. This development led Edison to speculate that a telephone message could also be recorded in a similar fashion. He experimented with a diaphragm, which had an embossing point and was held against rapidly moving paraffin paper. The speaking vibrations made indentations in the paper. Edison later changed the paper to a metal cylinder with tin foil wrapped around it. The machine had two diaphragm and needle units, one for recording and one for playback. When one would speak into a mouthpiece, the sound vibrations would be indented onto the cylinder by the recording needle in a vertical groove pattern. Edison gave a sketch of the machine to his mechanic to build, which he supposedly did within 30 hours. Edison immediately tested the machine by speaking the nursery rhyme into the mouthpiece, "Mary Had a Little Lamb." To his amazement, the machine played his words back to him. Although it was later stated that the date for this event was on August 12, 1877, some historians believe it has probably happened several months later, since Edison did not file for a patent until December 24, 1877. The Edison Speaking Phonograph Company was established on January 24, 1878, to exploit the new machine by exhibiting it. Edison received $10,000 for the manufacturing and sales rights and 20% of the profits. As a novelty, the machine was an instant success, but was difficult to operate except by experts, and the tinfoil would last only for a few planes. Ever practical and visionary, Edison offered the following possible future uses for the phonograph in North American Review in June of 1878. Number one, it could be used for letter writing and all kinds of dictation without the aid of a stenographer. Number two, it could be phonographic books, which will speak to blind people without effort on their part. Number three, the teaching of elocution. Number four, the reproduction of music. Number five, the family record, a registry of sayings, reminiscence, etc., by members of a family in their own voices and of the last words of dying persons. Number six, it could be used as music box and toys. Number seven, for clocks that should announce in articulate speech the time for going home, going for meals, and so on. Number eight, the preservation of languages by exact reproduction of the manner of pronouncing. Number nine, educational purposes, such as preserving the explanations made by a teacher so that the pupil can refer to them at any moment, and spelling or other lessons placed upon the phonograph for convenience in committing to memory. And finally, number 10, connection with the telephone, so as to make that instrument an auxiliary in the transmission of permanent and invaluable records, instead of being the recipient of momentary and fleeting communication. Eventually, the novelty of the invention wore off for the public, and Edison did no further work on the phonograph for a while, concentrating instead on inventing the incandescent light bulb. And the answer to our second question, it was on this day back in 1952 that Hank Williams was fired from the Grand Ole Opry and told not to return until what? Was it A, until he sobered up? Was it B, until he swore off swearing on stage? Was it C, until he got a haircut and a shave? Or was it D, until he publicly apologized to the DAR for his derogatory comments? Correct answer, answer A, until he sobered up. As noted in AmericanSongwriter.com, after releasing a long string of country hits in the 1940s from Hey, Good Lookin', I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, I Saw the Light, Move It On Over, and Your Cheatin' Heart, Hank Williams finally made his Grand Ole Opry debut and became a member in 1949. During his Opry debut, Williams received 6 encores and would go on to tour with his band, the Drifting Cowboys. Known for his drinking problem, Williams was previously fired from the radio station where he started out after showing up inebriated on more than one occasion. His time with the Opry would have a similar fate. As his alcoholism became noticeable and progressed over the years, in 1952, the Opry dismissed Williams just 3 years after he became a member, after he had missed a number of scheduled shows with no explanation. Williams died later on New Year's Day, 1953, at the age of 29. So let's close out today's program with Leon Russell's Honky Tonk Country Tribute to Hank Williams, a 6-pack to go.
Say hey, Mr. Bartender, please don't be so slow. Well, I've got time for one more round. 6-pack to go. Tomorrow morning, Sunday, yes, I'm gonna be feeling low. So please, please, bartender, I want a 6-pack to go.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is the language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long. Until next time.
So please, please, bartender, I want a 6-pack to go.